الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يجادلون في آيات الله بغير سلطان أتاهم إن في صدورهم إلا كبر ما هم ببالغيه فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا. وقال: فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا. وقال: فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: قبل ساعة سنون خداعة يكذب فيها الصادق ويصدق فيها الكاذب ويخون فيها الأمين ويؤتمن الخائن وينتقد بها الرويبضة، وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Previously we spoke about that how in the present moment what we are experiencing and witnessing is everything which Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned us about. And he mentioned that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made such a fitna. But from the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, every Nabi warned his people. And then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "And I am warning you in such words which no Nabi has ever warned." And thereafter he mentioned that this Dajjal, he will definitely come out in this ummah. And he will spread fitna and fasad around the world. So after trying to prove that whatever we experience around us is part of that fitna, now what it's necessary is that we look at the ahadith and the Quran, and we try and find that what did Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to do, so that we can live up to this fitna, we can fight it, and we don't fall in front of it. When a person studies the ahadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a certain type of surur, happiness, comes over a person. That everything that's going to be happening till the day of Qiyamah, in different ways and in different methods, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained it. There is a book, the name is Ashratu Sa'a, in which the Musannif tried to explain all matters that will happen till the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimullah, he wrote footnotes on this book. So in this book, one hadith is mentioned. When Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that when Dajjal will come and then he will try to enter Medina Munawwara, so the furthest that he will go is to Mount Uhud. And when he noticed the angels are preventing him from entering, he will climb Mount Uhud with his army of Jews. And from the top of Mount Uhud, he will point towards the masjid of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's mentioned in the hadith that in that moment he will say that this is the white palace of Ahmed. That this is the white palace of Ahmed. So Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimullah writes under that, that what an amazing thing it was that when Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they narrated it without asking any question. Otherwise in that era they could have asked this question: which white palace are you talking about? Because the masjid of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not white. It's in our era that it's white. And in that era it could not be seen from Uhud. In our era it can be seen from Uhud. especially at night when it stands out. So everything that's going to happen till the day of Qiyamah, how Nabi Pak also mentioned it. Regarding Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu an, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when the people will be searching for him, so they will get the news that he is in Makkah Mukarramah, and this group of Abdals will go in search of him. When he hears that they have come to look for him, he will quickly go over to Medina Munawwara. So they will follow him. And when they reach Medina Munawwara, he will go back to Makkah Mukarramah. And like this, it will carry on for about 3 to 4 times. So in the past, the Muhaddiseen who narrated this, under this they wrote that this whole thing will occur in a period of about 1 week. And to imagine that in 1 week a man can make a journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara so many times is impossible. Because in that time it would take at least a couple of weeks to reach. So the Muhaddiseen would write under that, that this is the karamat of the awliya, that Allah Pak will make the time for them long and the earth will be short. So in a short period of time they'll be able to go to Medina Munawwara back to Makkah Mukarramah. So Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahimullah writes that in our time there's no need for that explanation. Because now we see that man going up and down in a period of 1 week, how many trips can he make? Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned everything that's going to happen. The only thing is that when we read it and we keep events of the world in front of us, then a certain surur comes over us. That we have been warned and we have been told what precautions to take. So similarly is the fitna of Dajjal. Hazrat Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the ummah in these words, that no fitna has ever been created so terrible like the fitna of Dajjal. But when Sahaba radiallahu anhum got scared, and they felt that how will we fight it, then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing to worry about much. He said, if he comes out when I'm alive, then I will defend all of you people. And if he comes out after my death, then every man will have with him what is necessary to defend himself. And Allah will be my khalifa over my ummah. Meaning Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give special protection. The Jews of Medina Munawwara, they used to speak to the Arabs, the Aus and the Khazraj, before the coming of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they would describe the final messenger. And they would describe the person with who we will get complete supremacy over the earth. But when Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, they changed the story. So now when the Aus and the Khazraj went to them, and they told them that this is the man you have described, so they took out their books to show other descriptions. Someone along the line had changed the description, that the final messenger, the one we are waiting for, is a man by the name of Masih ibn Dawood. Masih, the son of Dawood. And the descriptions they wrote of him is the exact descriptions which previously in their books would have been the description of Dajjal himself. And said, this is the man we're waiting for. He's our king. And then they told the Arabs that this person will be so strong. In one narration it is mentioned that when he stands in the ocean, his legs will be at the bottom of the ocean and his head will be on top. And when he wants to, he can put his hand up and he will touch the sky. In another narration it is mentioned that what they meant is that his power will be over the earth and over the sea. And not just over the sea, but it will go to the bottoms of the sea. And it will not just be on earth, but it will go to the top of the earth, right to the skies. Meaning in his power will be all the aeroplanes and the jets we see, and every submarine that we see. All warfare on earth, on the land, on the sea, on the air. That will be his power. So when the Arabs heard this, they became extremely worried. And they went to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, if such a man comes out, where will we fight? So certain mufassirin have mentioned this narration under the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ, that those Jews who argue without any proof, إِنْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كِبْرٌ, it is only that pride in their hearts that now they have seen that the promised messenger is somebody else. And then they said that with this man we will take power over the entire earth. So Quran said, "Ma hum bi balighi," they will not manage it. Fasta'idh billah, definitely that fitna of Dajjal will be severe. All you have to do is ask Allah's protection. Innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Other mufassirin have mentioned, "Mola khalqus samawati wal ardi akbaru min khalqin nas." They don't worry of how strong this man will be when he comes out this Dajjal. Because the creation of the heavens and the earth was much, much greater than his creation. So the creator of the heavens and earth is much more powerful than him. So our job is to create a ta'alluq with the creator of the Dajjal. And then we can be protected from the Dajjal. Murana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah, he wrote a book regarding Surah Kahf. So at the beginning of the book he writes that all my life it was my ma'mool and habit to recite Surah Kahf on Fridays. And he says my grandmother used to always emphasize it. So when he came of age and he started studying, he said a thought came over my mind that why is Surah Kahf for the fitna of Dajjal? Why was it not Qul Wallahu Ahad 3 times? Or even better, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, because Shaitan is mentioned. Why not Surah Yasin Sharif, which will suffice for all matters? He says, what is the speciality of Surah Kahf to fight Dajjal? So he says, it came in my mind, there must be some meanings in Surah Kahf, which give us the principles of how to fight this Dajjal. And inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will try and pick up those principles throughout Surah Kahf, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has told us, when you all find that error, then these are a couple of things which you all must do, and thereafter you will be protected. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the power of Surah Kahf is such that forget listening to the meaning and practicing on the principles. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the man who merely will recite some narrations, the entire surah, it will create a bigger effect. In some narrations, at least 10 ayat of the surah. Now what is hard in 10 ayat? And Allah Pak will protect him from the fitna of Dajjal. A noor will be put around his entire body so that the fitna cannot hit him from any side. So the first thing to understand, if we want to fight against this fitna of Dajjal, why was Dajjal created? And what does the fitna of Dajjal mean? If we know that, it becomes very easy to fight it. Dajjal was created for two purposes. And the word fitna shows those two purposes. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created him as a test. The word fitna doesn't mean what we think, problems. The word fitna in the Arabic language means a test. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that women have been created as a test for this ummah. And wealth has been created as a test for this ummah. Shaitan has been created as a test for this ummah. In the Quran, Harut and Marut comes, innama nahnu fitna. We have been created to test you people. And then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam in certain narrations mentioned, but the biggest test that has ever been created is the test of Dajjal. So what is Dajjal? He's a test. Mufassirin have mentioned that with this test, two things happen. One is a punishment for those of evil. That it will be a source of them becoming misguided. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran spoke to the Jews, I have given you all 2 chances, you all failed. Wa in uttum udna. You all will get one more chance with Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you all don't take this chance, then we will return you back to that punishment. For that punishment to happen, it is necessary that the Jews of the world all gather in one place again. The same place where that first punishment took place, the same place where the second punishment took place. And that land is the land of Aqsa. But how to bring the Jews of the world towards that land? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created a test. And this test is in the name of Dajjal. That the Jew feels the man calling him there is actually the chosen person he's waiting for. That the day we all gather, we will take over the entire world. At the present moment amongst the Jews and the Zionists, there's a difference of opinion. The Zionists feel that we cannot wait any longer for that land to come into our power, so we must take it over with force. And the Jews feel that the day the promised messenger comes, he will call us to that land. We mustn't go there and take it over. That is why many Jews in the world at the moment are still not making that hijrat of this. So one Jew in 2002 wrote a very nice article and he writes that it's completely against our belief that the land of Aqsa can be taken with force. The land has been taken away as a divine punishment, and the day God accepts our repentance, He will give it back to us. But man must not take it away. He says, however, day by day, when the Zionists are taking more and more of that land away, many of my friends who have always been firm with me on this view are also moving over. And they are saying to me that maybe our scriptures were wrong. And maybe what the Zionists are saying is right. So he says, day by day our people are being deceived and they start moving over. So Dajjal has been created for this. At the final moment when he will come out, he will gather with him the Jews of the entire world. And they will all come with the desire to take over everything. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا Thereafter Allah Pak's punishment will fall upon all of them. In the hadith, Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when they will see Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, obviously they'll have weapons in their hands. But the fear of that sight that will be put in their hearts will cause their hands to start trembling. And whatever weapon is in their hand will just fall. And when they find that they cannot pick up anything, they will start running. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will say to the Muslims that if you all wish, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make one scream and all the Jews will be destroyed. And if you all wish, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause all the earth and the earth will swallow them. And if you all wish, then I will let the doors be opened and you all can go and fight against these people and kill them with your own hands. And the Muslims will say, Hiya ashfa li sudurina. That the killing of those people with our own hands will only make us happy. We don't want to see them drowned, we don't want to see them swallowed, we don't want to see them destroyed. We want to slaughter them one by one. After that, when the Muslims start chasing these people, it is mentioned in the hadith, every rock and every stone and every tree will be saying, Oh Abdullah, Oh Allah's servant, Oh Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him. That will be a final slaughter of the Jews, which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا So that is one purpose of Dajjal, to bring all of them back. He is a test as a punishment for those who rebelled against the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the second purpose of Dajjal is a test for those people who claim to be the beloved servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ This promise has been written in every scripture. أَنَّ الْأَرَضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ That only those people who are pious will be able to take that Mubarak land. Every person who wanted the land had to prove his piety. And throughout history, whoever Allah Pa gave that land to before that, there was a test to prove that you have that piety. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Fitna and a test has been given to every person so that Allah Pak can find out who is true and who is false. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned before the coming of Dajjal, there will only be two groups left in the earth. There will be no munafiq, hypocrite. It will either be that you are from the group of those people who are truly Allah's Mubarak servants, or you will be from that group who are the followers of Dajjal. There will be no in between. To such an extent that couple of these hypocrites will be hiding in Medina Munawwara. But when Dajjal will come, an earthquake will take place in Medina Munawwara, and they will also run out and they will join with Dajjal. It will be one of two groups. So this why Dajjal has come, to make the pious separate from the fasiq. So Dajjal is a fitna, a test. How do we fight it? Prepare ourselves for the test. Running away from this fitna won't help. Saying that the times are very hard won't help. Saying that the things that we see in front of us, we cannot control ourselves, will not help. Understanding that Allah Pak is testing every one of us, and this is the means of the test, and standing up to the test to prove my loyalty to my Creator, that is an imtihan which we have to pass. And once it's in our mind that we are being tested, then we will not look at the test as very hard. Because the harder the test, the more we got the chance to prove our loyalty. So regarding the test of the Dajjal, what it will be, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Kahf has mentioned many, and how to fight it. But one story or one incident stands out in Surah Kahf. That if you can get this year, this is the main thing you need to pass the entire test. And what is that? Which two surah, which incident of Surah Kahf always stands out when a person reads it? It is the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam in Khidr. Because Allah Pak has mentioned stories in Quran only to pull our attention. A story, an incident is something that you remember. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentioned about Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, that how he had to meet the Nabi Khizr alayhi salam. And then on three instances, Khizr alayhi salatu wa salam did something which Musa alayhi salam said, What are you doing? This is wrong. And Khizr alayhi salam said, You don't understand the reality. They had boarded a ship. The people never took money from them. Khizr alayhi salam made a hole in the ship. Musa alayhi salam said, This is zulm, oppression. And he said, You don't understand the reality. Later on, he explained to him, Had the ship continued moving on the waters, a king would have taken it away for good. Thereafter they find a young lad, very handsome. Khizr alayhi salam kills him. Musa alayhi salam says, murder. He says, you haven't understood the reality. Thereafter he says, had this boy grown up, he would have been a cause of the parents falling into kufr. And it was written that they could only have one child. So rather I take this child away now, and they cry and they remain on their iman. Thereafter they came to a land where they asked for food. The people said, get out. A wall was going to fall. Khizr alayhi salam said, help me to put it up again. Musa alayhi salam said, for free? These people are not even giving us food. Khizr alayhi salam said, you don't understand the reality. Later on he explained to him, had that wall fell down, there was a treasure under it which these people were taken away. Whereas this treasure was meant for very good people, who at that moment did not have the power to take it. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah writes after these three incidents, that what message is being given in this? The message is that there are many times when we see our eyes something, and we feel something, and we think we can't be wrong, and later on we realize that there was something else which was the real reality. To fight the fitna of Dajjal, one of the main things we have to do is we have to start denying what our eyes see. Which Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, before the coming of Dajjal there will be years of khida'ah, of open deception. A man who speaks the truth will be said, you are a liar. A man who speaks lies will be said, you are the truthful. And that man who is called Ruwaybada in the hadith, he will be the one speaking. Sahaba said, who is this Ruwaybada? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a very insignificant man. He will not have much brains. He will not have much power. He will not have much talent. But he will speak regarding the affairs of mankind, and his word will be taken. That whatever you say goes. What we're going to see in front of us is all deception. And that person will pass it who learns to deny his eyes and accept what the heart says. This is the first thing we have to do to fight the fitna of Dajjal. As long as our eyes of the heart can't open up, and we cannot see a reality beyond what we see in front of us. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, with Dajjal there will be a fire and there will be paradise. When you see that fire, you will feel like getting away from it. He said, go towards it. Because in that fire is your success. And when you will see that paradise, stay away from it. Because in that paradise is your failure. What fire is that and what paradise? When Dajjal will really come out, he will show. But what fire do we see nowadays and what paradise do we see? We see the fire of force that is being unleashed on the Muslims who say no. Whether it's through bombs and weapons, and that fire comes out. Or the difficulties of saying no to the evil in front of us. And we see the paradise of the raves, and the paradise of television, and the paradise of the internet and those salty pictures. And we just want to go towards it. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in that is your Jahannam and in that is your paradise. But you have to learn to deny our eyes. We see in front of us a beautiful picture of a woman standing by a car and so happy and smiling. And they say, take out a bond and you will get all of this here. We have to learn to deny our eyes and say, behind that reality, there's another reality. It is all one big deception. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made Dajjal with one eye. Although he has two eyes, one eye is blinded, so he's called the one-eyed Dajjal. Giving us a message that Dajjal's fitna will be the apparent fitna. To fight it, you will have to learn to look from a spiritual aspect. With the eye of the heart, the eye of the face has to be denied. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to Sahaba radiallahu an. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. That you will see one thing and you have to say, I believe something else. You will have to see that insurance bringing your money up, and the insurance company saying, I will look after you for life. And you will have to see that if I have no insurance, this can happen and that can happen and that can happen. And then you will have to say, I bring iman on what Allah's messenger said and I deny what I see. That person will be able to fight Dajjal. Mulana Rum rahimullah mentioned, and this was the kamal Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed him, that he taught us how to fight against the fitnas that we see. So he mentioned there was a prince in a certain era. This incident, Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh narrated to us. Mulana Rum rahimullah mentioned a certain prince, his nikah was made to one of the most beautiful women of that land. And after 1 year or 2 years, the king, he's asking his daughter-in-law, that how come no child is coming still? meaning I want a grandson. So this young pretty girl says to the king, that how can I answer you? In the last 2 years from the time I married your son, he has not come to me one day also. So the king gets amazed. He tells certain people, find out what is wrong with the boy. Is there something wrong on his health? When they find out, they find he's a very strong boy, but a certain witch has made a spell which has covered his eyesight. And because of which, when he sees his beautiful wife, he sees an ugly picture in front. And when he sees that filthy woman, he sees a beautiful picture. The pictures were changed. So in the last 2 years, every night he was going over to that cottage and spending his time with that woman. So the king gets amazed and he says, can you do something? They say, we will give you a certain taweez. Give it to your son to have. He eats that thing, drinks it, and thereafter that witchcraft is lifted, the jadu. Thereafter the minister takes him by the hand and he says, come, I will show you in the last 2 years where you were spending your time at night. Mawlana Rum rahimullah says, when they knock on the door, and when that door now opens and that woman comes out and he says, my beloved, how are you? And that smell comes out from mouth also, and her cheeks are in and her eyes, that sight itself makes him fall down. And if he hears you have been sleeping with this filth for the last 2 years, he will like faint and have a heart attack. And when they show him then your real wife, what you have left for 2 years, he will get more shocked. But Mawlana Rum rahimullah mentions, why did he see wrong? Why did he see beauty in evil, and why did he see evil in beauty? It's because his heart, eyes were blinded. He says a spell has been made upon this ummah. But not on the eyes of the head, but on the eyes of the heart. And because that heart has now been covered, in the filth of the world we see beauty. And in the beauty of deen we see filth. And he says the day that the man is put in the grave, that spell will be lifted. And then man will see the reality of the beauty of Islam, the beauty of Quran, the beauty of saying no to a haram and filthy woman. And he will see the filth of that woman he gave his life to, and those pictures he gave his life to, and that haram wealth he gave his life to. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, man will be running, and that dirty wealth will be chasing him and saying, where are you going, where are you going? In this world you gave your life for me to get haram wealth, why are you running away? And finally it will catch up. And he will say, in the world you love me so much, now stay with me forever. And it will become a snake around his neck, and he says, enjoy me now, this is my reality. He says, in that grave the reality will open, but then it will be too late. He says, Mubarak to that person in this world, he can find someone who can remove the jadu of that heart. And he can learn to start seeing with the eyes of his heart. Then when he sees that filthy woman in front of him, he looks down and he says, my Allah will give me something better. He will not think, if I don't go to her, I will lose out. When he sees a filthy picture on his internet, or on his cell phone, or on a magazine, immediately he will realize, on top of my eyes is the eyes of someone I have to be loyal to. And he will look away. When someone comes and tells him, take out a bond on your house, or take out this insurance policy and take out that insurance policy, they will tell him, go to the lottery, you will get so much, you can do this, you can do that. And everything will look so nice in front. And at that moment he says, I deny what my eyes say, and I bring iman on the words of my Nabi. Then that person will come out of this year successful. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, on 3 occasions, being the Nabi of the time, was said, you do not understand the reality. Imagine us, how we are going to understand that reality. So the jahl's fitna and test will be an apparent picture put in front of us. In our cars when we will drive, you will see success is in this. We open a magazine, you will see success is in this. A woman will look, those who watch TV, they see a certain, what they call soaps, every week it's repeated. A certain lifestyle of the American, that you live in success. And that woman of that house, that girl of that house, that boy of the house says, I want to be like those people. Enjoy it with a nice car, with a nice phone, with a nice woman. But behind that reality, there's something else. Why is it that that same person on the TV got so much success, but tomorrow you hear he's the one who committed suicide? Where's his success gone? A reality beyond what we can see. To believe in that reality now of that ghaib, and to see with our eyes, that is that power which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said, if you can get that power, then you will be able to stand up against every temptation and imtihan of the jahl. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how will this power come? He mentioned that every day when man becomes negligent of his creator, the heart gets covered with rust. And when the heart becomes black, then the eyes of the heart cannot see through. But when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's most beloved name is taken, whether it's through the tariqah of which Murana Muhammad Ilyas rahimullah was given divine inspiration, tell people to speak about Allah. Speak Allah, 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 Allah. And that blackness is removed. Whether it's to sit down and say the word Allah, Allah, Allah 120,000 times, 20,000 times, 100 times, 50 times, 10 times. Remove the blackness of that heart. And when that blackness removes and the eyes start seeing something, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what are you all scared of? Dajjal. When the word kafara, kufr will be written on his forehead. And every person who can read and every person who can't read, he will see it. As long as he's a believer. As long as he got iman. Meaning if this heart has iman, we will see the filth of this world around us. Then to stay away from haram won't be hard. But we have to remove this rust. And we have to die in this condition that this heart is covered. And as Mawlana Rum rahimullah mentioned, in the grave, that rust will be removed. And then we will see the world in its reality. We will see every temptation that we fell in its reality. And we will see what we lost. Imagine that person who dies and his creator is unhappy with him. In the grave, the angel will open up a window to him. And they will say, look at that Mubarak palace there. What a beautiful palace. Look at that land. Look at all those things. He will say, what is that? They will say, that is that paradise which your creator had reserved for you. And when he will get so happy, they will close that window. And they will open another window of Jahannam. And they will say, but you in your stupidity, you canceled the reservation. And that is what you chose. Imagine at that time what will happen to man. But that man who fights it, when he goes in his grave, he will be shown a window of Jahannam. And when the angel will show him, he will say, that is what your creator reserved for you. And he will get shocked. And then that window will be closed. And they will say, but because you fought against reality, or against what you saw on the outside, you cancelled that reservation. And this is what your creator has now prepared for you. And then he will see his Jannah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us this tawfiq, that we can learn to deny what our eyes see. We can bring iman on the words of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can learn to see with our hearts. We can learn to accept something is not an outside picture. فآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.